Radiotopia.
Welcome to the Kitchen Sisters present.
From PRX.
We're the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson
and Nikki Silva.
Hi, I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life in prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. The Kitchen Sisters Present is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The very first Nancy Pearl librarian action figure is a 5-inch plastic figure with clothes that in the original one looked a bit dowdy, which made a lot of people unhappy, but which were in fact, Nikki, I have to say, were the nicest clothes that I owned. And they just did not translate into plastic particularly well.
Today, the Kitchen Sisters present Nancy Pearl, librarian action figure. She's been called one of the 10 coolest librarians alive. She's the best-selling author of Book Lust, recommended reading for every mood, moment, and reason. She started a project called If All Seattle Read the Same Book, an idea that has spread like wildfire to cities and communities all across the nation. Other librarians call her a librarian's librarian. And of course, then, there's that action figure. Okay, back to the story of the action figure with the amazing push-button shushing action.
I'm Nancy Pearl. I'm a librarian and a writer and a book enthusiast. There's a company in Seattle. They did a series of action figures. They did Jesus. They did Shakespeare. They did Moses. And my husband and I were at a party with the owner, and he was telling us that people were writing in saying how much they loved the action figures and how the Jesus action figure was actually performing miracles for them in their lives. And I said, you know, but Mark, the people who really perform miracles are librarians. They change people's lives. And somebody said, oh, Mark, you should do a librarian action figure. Oh, and Nancy should be the model for it. As we were driving home that night, my husband said his four favorite words to me, Nancy, think this through. Do you really want to be a 5-inch plastic, non-biodegradable action figure? And I said, don't even think about it. It'll never happen. About a year later, on April Fool's Day, 2003, Mark called and said, would I like to come to Mukilteo, north of Seattle? Would I like to come to Mukilteo to be digitized? Which would make a great first line for a memoir. I went to Mukilteo to be digitized. Oh, I should say the action. When we were talking about what action it should be, I met with the creative team at the company. And you know, of course, they were all like 14 years old. And, you know, we just had the same sense of humor. It was really wonderful. If you pressed a button on the back, the arm would move up toward the mouth in a kind of shushing movement. And of course, that's the action. I mean, you play on the stereotype of what people think librarians are but aren't. There are probably 40 librarians in the world who have no sense of humor, and every one of them wrote to me. Two of them said I had set the librarian profession back 40 years. Because that first action figure did so well, and clothes in that first one are blue, Mark wanted to do a deluxe librarian action figure. You know, I said, well, because of all that dowdiness factor, could we change the clothes, be redigitized? And he said, no, that would cost too much money. We'll just make them red.
I have all of them, the deluxe editions with the carts and the books and with the superhero cape. I teach middle school, and the kids are thrilled that she's an actual person and an action figure.
I first discovered her with her Book Crush series, and those are like my go-to when I'm like stuck and I need that next book thrill.
She's kind of an idol of mine.
She's like the librarian's librarian.
Testing, testing. This is Nikki Silva of the Kitchen Sisters at the American Library Association meeting, the ALA, January 26th, 2019. I'm recording for the Keepers. And Nancy Pearl, the keeper of the day, has got a line around the block here of people who want her to sign books.
Yes, signing paperback copies of George and Lizzie at the Simon & Schuster booth. You know, it's always so wonderful for me to be at a conference with librarians. One young woman came up to me and said, you know, you spoke in Olympia a few years ago, and you and I talked about the book Girl of the Limberlost by Jean Stratton Porter. And Nancy, you said to me, you should go to library school. And she said, and I did.
So we're going to read a little bit here. And this is from the introduction.
Yes, this is from the introduction to my first book, Book Lust, recommended reading for every mood, moment, and reason. I grew up in a lower middle class neighborhood of Detroit in a family of readers. Although my father only went to school through the sixth grade and didn't get his GED until he was 70. My mother, a highly educated woman, was a disastrous combination of fury and depression. She read poetry, especially those depressed poets like A.E. Housman and Philip Larkin, and fiction. She's the only person I know of who loved books of fantasy and science fiction with the same degree of intensity. Mine was a family that today would be labeled dysfunctional. All I knew then was that I was deeply and fatally unhappy. It was painful to live in our house, and consequently, I spent most of my childhood and early adolescence at the public library. I frequently walk myself in my mind into the Parkman Branch Library. It was a very big, to a little girl, branch library. And to get into the library itself, you had to climb up stairs. And Carnegie's libraries, you always climbed stairs because he believed that you ascended to knowledge. And you walked in, the circulation desk was right in front of you. To the right were the children's books. And if you turned to the left, there were the adult books. In those days, you couldn't check out books from the adult section until you were 13, and you got a youth card, which had a green stripe, I believe, on the top of it. And when I turned 13, Miss Whitehead, who was my beloved librarian, took me to the, somewhat grudgingly, not grudgingly because she didn't want me not to read adult books, but grudgingly because she felt there were still so many books in the children's section that she wanted me to read. She took me to the adult section and introduced me to the librarians there. And I checked out my first grown-up book, which was Gone with the Wind. When I met Miss Whitehead, I was about 8 years old. All I was reading for the next couple of years were horse and dog books, as many girls do at that age. After she got to know me and saw what a reader I was, she would do this kind of bait and switch tactic with me. And I went there practically every day. And on Saturdays, I would spend the day there. I would pack a lunch and eat it outside. It was on a boulevard, on Oakman Boulevard in Detroit, and I would sit under a tree in the middle of the boulevard on that strip of grass. I mean, it was just magical. But Miss Whitehead would come up to me and she would say, "Nancy, we just got a new horse book in the library, a new Marguerite Henry book. Do you want to be the first person in this library to read that book?" And of course I'd say, "Yes, I mean, my golly, how could you not want that?" And I mean, she got me every time. I would like hold out my hand for that book and she would say, "Oh, but wait a minute. First, I want you to read another book." That was the way she got me to read The Hobbit, Mary Poppins, and Rabbit Hill, and all those wonderful, wonderful children's books. And it's a great way to do it, because I loved those horse and dog books, but I was willing to try anything. I always got a lot of pleasure recommending books to people. You learn a lot about an individual when you're helping them find a book. The staff development, when I do those trainings, is to get people to think about books in a different way. Not thinking about books in terms of what the book is about, but rather what it is about the book that the reader enjoyed. Think about a book as a pie composed of four different elements: plot, people, place, prose. To match a book up with a reader, you're talking about what it is about the book that we want to hone in on.
The librarian Nancy Pearl is with us next. She joins us regularly to give us book recommendations, and she has sent me a stack of books here that is going to take us on a series of journeys to different parts of the world. Hi there, Nancy.
Hi, Steve.
So we're going to travel here, beginning with...
When I was in Tulsa, I was on weekly with KWGS. When I moved from Tulsa to Seattle, the program director sent the tape to KOW and said, "Oh, you should have her on live. She has no fear." And somehow I ended up on Morning Edition with Steve Inskeep, who I just love. I love making him laugh. So I always pick a book that he would never read. Because he has such a great laugh.
The final book on your stack is called Landmarks by Robert McFarlane.
Robert McFarlane, who is a fellow at Cambridge University, is so interested in landscape and language. He, in this book, is writing about how we've lost the specific words for details of the landscape. And each chapter ends with a glossary of words that we no longer use or no longer know. It occurred to me that it would be so much fun to pick a word and use that word as much as we can over the year.
Okay, here it goes. Here it goes. What's the word? What do you got?
Oh, fleeches.
What?
Fleeches.
Spell it, please.
Fleeches, large snowflakes. Is that not wonderful?
I stood at the window watching the fleeches of
fall.
Snow. Or just fleeches fall.
The fleeches, right.
I stood now, at the window watching the fleeches fall.
Can I just read one quote that he
Please,
says?
Go ahead.
Because, you know, this is why I love Robert McFarlane so much. "Before you become a writer, you must first become a reader. Every hour spent reading is an hour spent learning to write. This continues to be true throughout the writer's life." Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this, all of these books are just such discoveries. I love it.
Librarian Nancy Pearl, who is also the author of Fleeches of books, including George and Lizzie, a novel. You can find more of her book recommendations. And our favorite books of the year.
Writing Booklust was so easy. My instructions from the editor were to come up with, say, 300 quirky categories and figure out what books would go in them. I went home and I started just looking at my books and thinking, oh, what quirky category could that book fit into? What quirky category could that book fit into?
So tell me where we are in the book here.
So this is the first chapter, A, My Name is Alice. I once heard Anna Quinlan answer the question of what author she most enjoyed reading by saying that basically she read the Alices.
I realized then that one could have a most enjoyable binge reading these Alices. Alice Adams, Alice Elliott Dark, Alice Hoffman, Alice Madison, Alice McDermott, Alice Munro, Alice Walker, and first-time novelist Alice Siebold. Alice Adams, an elegant writer of both short stories, which frequently appeared in the New Yorker magazine, and novels, wrote about the lives and emotional upheavals of women.
I cannot imagine how you keep track, particularly when you're putting together a book like Booklust. I mean, what is your system? How do you have your books arranged in your house?
I mean, I don't have a ton of books. I mean, it's not like I'm a book collector. I have the books loosely arranged alphabetically by author. I mean, I don't have that kind of eidetic memory, but for books, I do. Even if I haven't read the book, I can almost see the jacket or the spine of the book with the author and the title. My mind, which does forget many, many other things, still remembers with such great pleasure those books that I loved. In 1998, we had the first If All Seattle Read the Same Book. I love that towns big and little, everywhere from Bosnia to Adelaide, Australia, have taken this sort of core of this idea and interpreted it in a way that fits their community. A cultural attaché at the embassy in Bosnia knew of the project and called me and said, would I come to Bosnia and help train leaders to lead these discussions that are going to deal with difficult issues? We had teens all over this broken, dysfunctional country of Bosnia, Muslims and Croats and Serb teenagers all reading the same book and then coming together to talk about that book. She had picked the book before I got into the project, Sherman Alexie's The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian. Initially, I thought, oh, I don't know, Sherman's book. How is that going to translate to Bosnia from a Native American Spokane Indian reservation where the book is set? But boy, was I wrong. It was the perfect, perfect book because it's about a teenager who doesn't fit, who doesn't belong. And just to see these kids who never, never interact. I mean, just the act of coming together was symbolic, but even more than symbolic. This discussion, you could see, oh, yeah, that's how I felt about the book, too, even though you're somebody whose family hates my family because we're a different religion. I mean, it sounds so pretentious to say reading heals the world, but it does, and it can. Many years ago on KUOW, I used to do an hour-long show, and we would take call-ins from people. And this woman called, and she said, you know, I'm reading this book, and I'm really not enjoying it. When do you think I should give up on it? On the spur of the moment, I said, you know, give a book 50 pages. At the bottom of page 50, ask yourself, am I really enjoying this? And if you're not, stop reading it. Life is really too short, and the world of books is so large. It doesn't make sense to me to slog through a book to the end if you're not liking it. So that rule of 50. But then, as I got older, then I realized what you should do is subtract your age from 100, and that number, which gets smaller every year, like a reward to us, that number is the number of pages you should read before you give up on a book. A writer that I know got an email from someone saying, I started this book, but I Nancy Pearled it. He stopped reading it when he realized it wasn't a book he loved. And so I thought, well, that was very exciting to be a verb.
Can you tell me about Dewey?
Oh, about Melville Dewey? Melville Dewey, you know, there have been many different ways of arranging the library, different thinkings about the library and how it should be arranged from the very beginning. Dewey divided the world of knowledge into these 10 distinct sections. So each Dewey 100 deals with a different area of the world's knowledge. One of the things that he was really interested in was shortening words and getting rid of unnecessary letters and things like that. So his name was, you know, Melville, like the author Melville, but he shortened it to M-E-L-V-I-L, getting rid of that unnecessary L-E at the end. And he wanted to write Dewey as D-U-I, but that never caught on. The thing about the Dewey decimal system, I feel in my own way of understanding books, I would dispense with Dewey altogether, almost altogether, because in many ways it makes absolutely no sense. If I had my big wish always has been that somebody would give me a library, you know, just a little branch of a library that I could rearrange and make it easier for readers to find books that they would love. I would arrange books by that pie, by what the big pie pieces are. For example, the 600s are cookbooks. Quite near those cookbooks on the shelf, I would put the mysteries that are cookbook-centered. You know, there's a whole series by Diane Mott Davidson about a caterer, Goldie Bear, or the memoirs, Anthony Bourdain's memoirs, or things like that. With the history, I would just pull out sections that brought together books from all over the library, because I think that people move from fiction to nonfiction very easily if we showed them that what they loved in the fiction section, they could also find in nonfiction. I had a man who was a huge Western fan. Nobody had shown him that the 973s, American history, there are lots of great narratives about, well, the Lewis and Clark expedition, for example, or women on the Western journey. To have those books close together so that you could move from one to the other, I think would be really exciting.
Our project that we've been working on is called The Keepers. Activist archivists and rogue librarians, keepers of the free flow of information and the truth. What do you think about that idea? And do you think of yourself as a keeper?
I do think of myself as a keeper. And I have to say, I find myself more and more thinking about and talking about older books, books that might not even be in print anymore, but that I thought spoke to something in me and that I think would speak to others. The reason that I was taken with that whole idea of archival material is that the past can be so disposable, and how dangerous that is. And that the whole notion of reading gives us compassion. We're living a life outside of ourselves through the pages of a book, and how important it is at this time that our leaders need to be readers. And we see a difference between people who are readers and people who are not.
Your philosophy of libraries, it's just so much bigger than libraries.
It is. It definitely is. I think that the fact that the library is, except perhaps for the school systems, the last small d democratic institution remaining in our country where everybody can go to the library, that no one is turned away because of the way they look or the fact that their clothes aren't clean or they're carrying all their life's possessions in a backpack, that the library is there for them. And what wonderful riches are in the library, and the librarians who are there to help you find your heart's desire in a book. I think that's not so far-fetched.
Now
Nancy Pearl, Librarian Action Figure, was produced by the Kitchen Sisters, Nikki Silva and Davia Nelson, with Nathan Dalton and Brandy Howell. For their support for this episode, we thank Every Library, the National Political Action Committee dedicated to the future of libraries, and the library technology company Biblioteca that connects libraries and their communities in new and effective ways. Every Library and Biblioteca sponsored a great party at the ALA, where the Kitchen Sisters awarded Nancy Pearl with her Keeper of the Day trophy. Check it out at kitchensisters.org. Oh, and our latest Kitchen Sisters tip, always travel with a trophy. Special thanks to the team at Biblioteca, including Megan Davis and Matt Bellamy, and Every Library's Executive Director, John Shraska. Thanks to Rob Jacob Springer at KUOW in Seattle, and thank you to the American Library Association.
The Kitchen Sisters Present is part of Radiotopia from PRX, a curated network of extraordinary cutting-edge podcasts created by independent producers.
To find out more about the Kitchen Sisters' stories, workshops, live events, internship possibilities, and our t-shirt, go to kitchensisters.org. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia from PRX.